water, pure, sweet, flowing water. All the water the villagers can use.
Marlon Brando lending his Oscar-winning talents to UN Radio in the mid-1950s for an uplifting report on an issue that, as the UN chief Antonio Guterres put it this week, remains a matter of life and death. Brando takes us to Bolivia, where a UN team drills for water to transform the lives of an entire village.
As Ben Hudson wrote in his letter to the UN's Technical Assistance Administration, the water is doubly welcome. For water contains minerals which are most beneficial in preventing goiter, which abounds in this area.
Welcome to another of our UN News podcast classics, where we dig into the unique audio archive that spans more than 70 years of UN Radio. I'm Matt Wells. We've been marking the launch of the International Decade for Action on Water here at UN headquarters on World Water Day itself. So it's an appropriate time to look back at one of the simplest but most effective ways that our teams and partners on the ground have helped improve public health and development over the decades. In a moment, we'll take you to the small town of Loma in El Salvador. But first, here's one of the greatest screen actors of all time, as you've never heard him before.
How do you do? This is Marlon Brando. And that man out there in the churchyard talking to the priest is Ben Hudson. He's an American hydrological expert. Now, Ben has been sent to Cotoca, which is a village in the mountain regions of Bolivia, by the United Nations Technical Assistance Administration at the request of the Bolivian government. You see, for 9 months of the year, there's plenty of water in Cotoca. But for 3 months, the hills are as dry as the hills of Cotoca. And water during that time is just about the most precious thing in the world for the people of that region. Right now, Ben is talking to Father Raphael, trying to make himself understood over the peating of the bells.
"Our preliminary drilling," he shouts, "tells us that there's an underground stream here, Father, but we'll have to dig in your churchyard."
Father Raphael looks worried. "But it's only 6 days to the festival of the Virgin of Cotoca. We hold our festival here. The people expect it. You can drill, Señor Hudson, if you promise to remove your equipment before the 6th day. Can you do it?" Ben looks puzzled.
"Well, 6 days in such rocky ground. Well, it's not going to be easy. I'll try it, Father, but you and the people of the village are going to have to help. In order to keep my crew on the job constantly, you'll have to supply us with food and prepare it so my workers don't lose time."
Father Raphael beams. "A fair bargain, my son. Now, how soon can you start the drilling?" Ben's answer.
"Well, how soon can you start the feeding?"
This is really something to see. While Ben and his crew send the rotary drill deeper into the ground, the women of Cotoca work at their pots and pans. The well diggers are husky men, and their appetites are sharpened by the bracing mountain air. And Ben's only complaint is that the food is so plentiful, his men will have trouble getting back to work after the meal. One day, 2 days, 3 days. Drilling continues. So does the cooking and the eating. The sun is hot, the work is hard, and Father Raphael is just a little bit worried. But then on the evening of the 3rd day, while the curious villagers are gathered around the drill rig, there is a rumbling and a gurgling on the ground. The welcome sound for which Ben has been waiting.
"Faster, faster," he urges,
and the motor is stepped up. Even the women stir the soup at a quicker pace. Then, just before dark, the cap of the drill press flies off with a wonderful sound. Water. Pure, sweet, flowing water. all the water the villages can use. As Ben Hudson wrote in his letter to the UN's Technical Assistance Administration, the water is doubly welcome, for water contains minerals, minerals which are most beneficial in preventing goiter, which abounds in this area. Katoka need never again have its dry season because of this constantly flowing, deep dug well. Now, the least amazed person is Father Raphael. In 3 days' time, water has been reached. Is there an explanation for this miracle?
But of course, answers Ben Hudson. What else do you expect when you drill on holy ground?
Marlon Brando there, bringing one Bolivian village's fight for fresh water to life, all on his own, in a UN radio booth in 1956. The story was called The Well of Happiness, and you'll find it, along with dozens of other unique and unusual radio stories, in our audiovisual library archive at unmultimedia.org/AV Library. Just 1 year earlier, UN Radio produced an equally vivid report from the Americas on the transformative power of running water, this time in El Salvador. It's called Water for Loma, and it tells the story of how one community turned the arduous task of carrying water pipes 5 miles up rugged mountain paths into a day-long fiesta.
Do you recognize this sound? Yes, it's a sound we hear every day, water running from a tap. But not everyone can summon water with a twist of the wrist. And here lies my story, not actually mine to be precise. It was told to me by my old friend, Carlos Davila, who was a former president of Chile and who recently came back from El Salvador with this UN story.
Clean water means better health, something most of us take for granted and don't bother about. But for a great part of the world, water, an essential part of life, is too often an unknown means of death. Even in these modern days, millions of people die every year from waterborne disease. For the recorded report of what one village in Latin America did about its water crisis, here is H.V. Kaltenborn with a story of Water for Loma.
For a few moments, Father Asmara Alvarenga held the sputtering rocket in his hand. Then, with an awkward but effective gesture, he threw it high into the air. There was a loud report, followed by a series of staccato bangs as the rocket completed its explosive arc across the Salvadorian sky. This was a fiesta day for Guazapa, and more particularly for the neighboring village of Loma de Ramas. This was the day of the Great Water Project, the day that the people were to carry the steel pipes from Guazapa to Loma so that this mountain village in El Salvador could have a supply of fresh, running water for the first time. How did this all begin? Well, this scheme to bring water to Loma was one of 11 such projects submitted by sanitary engineers from the World Health Organization working with the government of El Salvador. A safe water supply is regarded as a basic step in protecting health, and that is why the World Health Organization was here in the first place. In some areas, wells were being dug. In others, they were erecting sealed pumps. The problem of Loma de Ramas was simple enough. This village of 400 souls had for too long been dependent for its water supply on a community pool. But in the dry season, that became a muddy trickle. And even when full, it was open to contamination because of the general unsanitary surroundings. Even primitive latrines were lacking. And yet, high up on the mountain overlooking Loma, there was a spring from which flowed water, fresh, crystal clear drinking water. This the World Health Organization engineers decided, was just the right source of supply for Loma. But the village of Loma was a cluster of dwellings halfway up a 4,000 feet high mountain, separated from the nearest community of Guazapa by a river. So Loma was not an easy place to reach. Even by mule, it took 2 hours to climb the only road from Guazapa, a twisting, rocky gully. So the situation was put up to the inhabitants. Would they volunteer to carry the necessary water pipes and other material from Guazapa to Loma? The response was enthusiastic, not only in the mountain village itself, but in Guazapa as well. Men, women, and children volunteered to join a great safari up the mountain. The local holiday was proclaimed for the following Friday, and 8 o'clock in the morning was fixed as the starting time. The church bell summoned the people. On this morning of the great Water for Loma project, all was bustle and excitement in the frame office of the alcalde. That's the mayor of Guazapa. Hot coffee, brewed in great pots, was ladled out to the volunteer carriers. For this would be an arduous trek, and the people would need to be refreshed so they might complete the 5-mile climb up rugged mountain pathways and across the Guazapa River. The water pipes were laid out on the grass before the village church. Even these plain steel pipes had to have their decorations of gaily colored paper streamers. Round them stood the assembled villagers as Father Alvarenga spoke to them of the virtues of good neighborliness and how fitting it was to share one another's burdens. He ended his little sermon and gave them all his blessing. Out from the main square, the procession filed on the first stage of the trek. The men carried the long pipes on their shoulders. The women and girls, in the local manner, balanced the shorter pipes on their heads. This led down an uneven path between steep banks to the river Guazapa. Now at dry season level, most of the carriers were able to splash their way knee-deep across the rocky bed. The hard climb really began at the other side of the river. The sun burned down from a clear blue sky. The only cloud was far over to the west, a mixture of white smoke and steam spewed from the volcano of Izalco. The children, nimble as goats, seemed tireless as they stepped barefooted from rock to rock. While the main party was still negotiating the second half of the journey, the sudden whiz and bang of a rocket fired from high up on the mountainside announced the arrival of the first climbers to reach Loma. Seconds later, to spur the stragglers, came the raucous but cheerful blare of an old phonograph record, amplified through equipment that the engineers had improvised some days before. With cheerful, sweat-stained faces, the marchers quickened their pace for the last stretch, which happened to be fairly level. As each pair reached the little square in the center of the village of Loma, they unloaded their precious pipes and sank, exhausted but happy, into the shade of doorways or bushes to recover their breath and escape the noonday sun. One of the men who had made the climb was the oldest inhabitant of Loma, Señor Timo. Mr. Timo describes how he had been getting water. Do you walk far for your water, Mr. Timo? Oh, yes, more than 2 or 3 kilometers. In what do you carry it? In clay pitchers. And how long does it take to bring the water? A long time, at least 2.5 hours. Is that for each trip? Yes. And is it carried on the head? On the head. By the boys and girls? By the boys and girls. And how will you feel when you will have the water right in front of your house like a stream? Oh, very happy, and we should sing our praise. Then, speaking to the villagers, a rural nurse congratulated them on their readiness to work for this community project.
Ya cuando todos tengan aquí este material, pues llegarán, ¿verdad?, ya a instalar en las pilas, se les pondrán regaderas, se les hará baño.
Once your pipes are installed, you will have fountains, bathrooms and irrigation, and you will get strong and healthy with the good water which you will have. You already know the advantages of good water, and you have seen it many times in the movies, as well as the advantages of drinking pure water. You also know how, until you get this good water, to boil the water in order that the germs may be killed and we may keep healthy. And now, Dr. Francisco Siqueira, the health educator of El Salvador, who organized the climb.
No es fácil hacer lo que han hecho hoy, cargar esos tubos que pesan una barbaridad y sin embargo...
It isn't easy to do what you have done today, carry these extremely heavy pipes, but you have done it. Therefore, on behalf of the Health Bureau, we congratulate you and thank you. As I mentioned before, this is proof of the effort being made by the El Salvador government to help the people progress, especially those who, like yourselves, help themselves. By this time, some of the lads were ready to make music with their guitars and marimbas. There was the happy spirit in the air that comes from a tough job well and truly done. It was time to celebrate. The village of Loma de Ramas is a spot so tiny that you couldn't see it on a map of the world, but the vision of its people has no such limitation. They know the importance of pure water.
That was Water for Loma, bringing this UN Podcast Classic episode to a close. We'll be back soon with more from our unique audio archive. I'm Matt Wells. Thanks for listening.